Welcome to the Pinkham.com Norwich City podcast. My name is Michael Bailey. We're here to review Norwich City's 2-0 win over Barnsley, back to winning ways. It's probably not exactly the key talking points. We've got lots to get stuck into. I'm with Chief Norwich City Writer for the Eastern Daily Press, Paddy Davitt, and Pinkham.com Editor, Peter Raven. I've gone with that one this week. You happy with that?
Different title every week. Yeah, it's all under my CV somewhere.
You'd stop changing jobs, that's your problem. Wearing a fantastic yellow and green tartan tie. I think we need to, even your shirt's a bit yellow. I think we need to take a picture of this.
Yeah, it doesn't really work for a podcast, does it?
Visuals. That's why I just said we'd take a picture of it. That's why the social media exists, Pete, so we can share the picture. Yeah, people are like to see it, I'm sure. We'll make sure we make that happen. Anyway, right.
This man giving you advice on sartorial elegance.
Lumbersexual over there in his check shirt and beard.
A lumbersexual?
Yep. All that's missing is the axe and a forest.
I couldn't disagree. All right, well, I'll be in the picture too then. If you're going to give me jip, we'll sort that out too. We could keep talking about this. It might be more interesting. Paddy's encouraging that. I mean, there is probably a discussion here. Do you want, well, not discussion, but decision. Should we talk about the structural gubbins or the football match? Pad, which would you like to delve into first?
I think people are more interested in the former rather than the latter at the minute. So
let's do it then. So the big announcement before kickoff, it was our second early start in two Saturdays, Paddy, which was obviously delightful. Norwich City unveiling their new structure. Steve Stone is the managing director. You will see no more chief executive until, you know, a few years down the line when that's maybe the way they do want to go and take things on. Chiefly, we're going to have a sporting director the Norwich are trying to recruit, which will be in charge of the football, recruitment, all sorts, and then a head coach rather than a manager who will be in charge of first team affairs. Paddy, your thoughts on all of that? And I guess the key thing is, of course, who are those two people going to be?
Yeah, nail on head there, mate. It really, structural, new way of looking at it, old way of looking at it, to me that's a little bit of a smokescreen. It's basically getting good people in those positions. Well, good people, full stop, in your football club, who know what they're doing, are able to see the trends that are out there and anticipate them and get ahead of the curve. Because for too long, Norwich seemed to have been, you know, looking at the Barnsleys, pertinent because they played them at the weekend, looking at the Huddersfields, and they seem a little bit out of step in terms of the approach, in terms of even like the type of player they've got, the prototype of player for this league, and the style of play they want to play. So if this structure then, and more importantly, the appointments are right, then yes, I think it could work. But massive amount of uncertainty at the minute because we don't know who those post holders are going to be.
We've had two names. Let's be fair. I think head coach, I don't think, and I think Ed Ball's pretty much told you this, that it won't be appointed in the international break. That's probably going to be something that's going to take a little longer.
Well, purely through piecing the jigsaw together, the sporting director is in their eyes the key appointment, and until that's made. And it even said in the statement they released on Saturday that the sporting director will then have a massive input into the head coach search. So you can't really appoint a head coach until you get a sporting director, if you take them at their word.
Absolutely. And it's an interesting balance because the sporting director is there for longevity, effectively. So they can't necessarily just bring in their own man as head coach because they're the ones who need to sort of hang around longer than whoever the head coach is. But hopefully, someone suggested to me later on Saturday, the sporting director will get sorted over this couple of weeks. David Moss at Celtic has been linked, who brought in some big players like Virgil van Dijk and Mr. Dembele, taking those guys on. And who else was linked? It was Stuart Webber today, who is head of football operations at Huddersfield. Big influence in bringing David Wagner and opening up the continental market to the joys of the John Smith Stadium. And of course, David Wagner. Hey, do you get excited about any of these things, Pete? Do you care, Mr. Season Ticket Holder?
I think only in the fact that this is now a complete change in thought from the club, gone from the CEO to manager, then now going down this sporting director, head coach route that other teams have. Those two names you mentioned, it's like, I guess they both come with a fair bit of pedigree. Is it Webber?
Yes, yeah,
you'd question why he might leave a team that's could be destined for the Premier League, but he'd be a great appointment. Seeing what Huddersfield have done, and when they came here and just completely played us off the park, he's going to have an influence in that. It's now a case of, again, still getting it done fairly quickly, so they're all embedded before we get into the summer, but I guess it's sporting director, then head coach, and take it from there. And that's going to be the vital thing, isn't it, the relationship between the two. you're not going to have someone like Alan Pardew coming in as head coach and have to answer to a sporting director, are you? So I guess you can rule him out. Well, I guess he was ruled out already, wasn't he?
Yeah, it won't be Alan Pardew. No. But it's interesting because it is a model that exists around a lot of clubs, and you know, probably bigger names do work under those, or maybe have their own guys who they like to work with in terms of recruitment, which is obviously a clear path. I mean, go on.
I guess it also helps with this whole argument of we haven't got a footballing person on the board. So if you've got a sporting director in, who's the CEO looks after the business, sporting director looks after the football, then that sort of that'll probably appease a few fans.
Question in there from Pete Pad. Why would Stuart Webber come to Norwich when he's at Huddersfield?
Yeah, well, I mean, if he thinks that Norwich longer term, bigger club in terms of infrastructure, fan base, finances, then he might look beyond this season. Yeah, on the current sort of trajectories of both clubs, then you would say there was no argument. I would put a caveat in that I think Hoyles is their owner there, and he was strident to the point of being rude when Wagner was getting linked with jobs back in Germany around Christmas. It was more a case of we're no longer Little Huddersfield, and if people, i.e. other clubs, think they can come and take our key personnel, they've got another thing coming. We're building something here, we're aiming for the Premier League, and if that was the case with Wagner, I would assume it'd be the case with this guy. So I think Norwich might find, if he is emerging as one of the strongest candidates, very difficult to extricate him, irrespective of whether he wants to come.
One big question has been, what does a sporting director do? And we obviously tried to get a handle on that, didn't we, on Saturday? I mean, by my mind, they're running the football operation, they're overseeing everything that they need in terms of football from a longer term strategic point of view, lots of things that you don't necessarily want the guy who's dealing with first team matters week in, week out doing. Clearly looking long term in terms of recruitment, planning for who the next head coach is going to be, who the next players, if you sell someone, are going to be to step in. It's kind of how Southampton have done it. They were able to buy Nathan Redmond when they didn't have a head coach in place, for example. A bit of crossover there from what Ricky Martin has probably been doing, and that's, I think, something you brought up, didn't you, Paddy, with Ed Balls on Saturday?
Yeah, I did ask him that, because to my mind, you look at Richard Money's role in this, the proposed sporting director's role, and then you think, well, clearly that would overlap into what Ricky's brief has been so far. The chairman, he just seemed to think there would be some revision to Ricky's spheres of influence, but I think really a lot of that would hinge on who comes in sporting director-wise and how they see it, you know, because ultimately, as you rightly say, they're the top of the apex in terms of the football side of the business. So I think there'll be a bit of, suck it and see on that one. In terms, if you're asking me directly where does Ricky Martin fit into this, then I don't think we can say definitively until the new guy's in place, but taking them at their word on the statement, it made it quite clear that Ricky, Richard Money and the head coach would all report into the sporting director. So it's really for the sporting director to decide exactly, when you drill down into it, who's in charge of what.
I think clearly Ricky has a sort of set role that he does, and a lot of that nitty gritty logistics the sporting director probably wouldn't want to get involved in directly in terms of that nitty gritty. I mean it was interesting looking at all the people that could do this job. David Morse, I think Ross Wilson at Southampton was another one, and who else was it? Mike Rigg, I think, at Fulham. These guys, they all have very similar pathway to Ricky, and I guess they sort of would be big appointments and they'd get to talk about their roles, whereas I think Ricky's only had one question at an AGM that he's answered, and it doesn't really do him any favours necessarily, because if as soon as a sporting director comes in, it'll be a big appointment that we're going to speak to him, they're going to get to sit out their vision, so it'll be a big role, won't it? Anyway, and away to here, I think Steve Stone, managing director, it's a promotion for him, and he spoke really well, I thought, about the communication and the fan. There's always going to be a blurring, isn't there, of the lines between the football operation and the business, because they're both so intrinsically linked. But how important is that role, do you think, Pete?
Well, didn't he mention about the fact that if you're not hearing anything from the football club, then fans always fear the worst? So I think in terms of being more open to both fans and the media, it's never a bad thing. I've only heard good things about him. I know he's been CEO twice now, and I know this is a different role, but I wonder if it's a role that is more suited to him rather than CEO. So, yeah.
Certainly positive. Happy with that. I mean, certainly communicating with the fans and the ticket prices and some of the sticking points we've maybe had. I mean, I guess that's kind of intrinsically why we've got Steve Stone as an MD now, because when Jez Moxey took over the CEO role from David McNally, he didn't really get it. And in the way he was communicating, and there's clearly bridges to build back there.
Yeah, and I think he's also, he's been here a while now, hasn't he? So you've got a connection with the club. The fans never got with Moxie, did they? It just seemed to be like one final payday. You know that McNally cared about the club, and I think that's what's most important to fans at the moment. You've got an MD who does care.
Football then. There was some football. I think we've covered all that, haven't we? That's nobody, yeah, that's one enough. Are we, who's going to be the head coach? We don't know yet. The club don't know yet, so why would we know? And I don't think you'll see anyone before Villa, which I think I said anyway, which means Alan Irvine carries on. A man who's got 4 points from six. I think it was Chris Gorham who spoke to me after the game. He said, "Caught, you couldn't have any safer pair of hands for Norwich City's first team to be in at the moment." I think that's probably the way to look at it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I can see where he's coming from on that. I mean, ultimately, he's very popular with the players. And inevitably, when you get these manager goes out and their number two, if you want to call him that, takes over, there's a kind of a bit of a honeymoon period. So I think we're in that stage. You know, as he said himself to us on Friday, they're still calling him Alan. There's no gaffer or boss or anything like that. So that tells me the dynamic. And I'm sure it's been done already, but there'll be players there who were glad to see the back of Alex Neil. So you would think it's a happier camp at the minute. And that's maybe been reflected in the two home games. You know, Blackburn could have been six if Dykes hadn't had his rush of blood, and then they'd have been even closer to the top six. So, yeah, he's everything he says is very measured. He's very experienced. And you would imagine he does command respect because, you know, his career path, he's worked at some big clubs. And I think that would earn him a lot of kudos within that dressing room. You can see Alex Pritchard as well. I mean, he gave us the anecdote, you know, about how he's almost his mentor, how he put an arm around him most of these parts of the season when he hasn't been playing and getting frustrated and almost keeping him going kind of thing. So you can see that he clearly is a good people person. That's what I take from it. And that he can always get the older lads on side, maybe your Naismiths of this world, and that element of the dressing room, and clearly the younger lads as well, because everybody will feel they can get a chance of playing under this guy. So for the here and now, yep, I don't think it could be in better hands, but you know, obviously I'd personally like to see it resolved definitively, and we're not getting to QPR final game and Alan Irvine is still in charge, because I think just as this honeymoon period can end, the results can go south again, and then it'll be, well, let's get it resolved because it's not working again.
How could results go south when there's so much still to play for, Pete? Before we get stuck into that, here are some very quick quotes from, well, let's put them all in, shall we? Ed Balls, Steve Stone, Alan Irvine, and Johnny Howson. Jacob Murphy, it's his 10th goal of the season today, which I think, bearing in mind, he barely made a league appearance for, or had only a handful of championship appearances for Blackpool on loan a couple of years ago. I mean, he has stepped up. It feels like we talked about it a lot, but you know, 10 goals, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is, yeah. Jake's obviously done terrific, really well. You know, and I don't think it's just a case of the goals that he's scored. Obviously, that's his ability that we obviously see day in, day out, and even I've obviously seen it for a few years, even when he's started breaking through. You know, but I think the other aspect is he's played a lot of games this season for us, and certainly at this level. I think that's credit to himself of keeping going, keeping that shirt, you know, because, okay, yeah, we haven't, as a team, possibly performed to what we would have liked, but, you know, we've got some top players, and for the amount that he has played to keep going week in, week out, I think that's credit to his ability that he's got anyway. So I think for him personally, if he keeps going, he's going to be some player.
Absolutely. And I mean, the fans will maybe, some fans will get frustrated and maybe that he isn't consistent enough, but ultimately with his players, with his goals and his assists, he has been consistent, hasn't he, over the course of the season, and then the other stuff is, you know, there to improve.
Of course he has. And as you touch on there, you know, he's a young lad, and sometimes, you know, he needs that experience of maybe making the odd mistake to learn. You know, and obviously you see there's a little bit of a reaction where you're shot in the first half, and, you know, obviously to me, people that do things like that to a young lad that's come through and is one of your own, if you like, they need to probably have a good look at themselves. But true credit to Jake, he pops up with a goal and answers them. So it's obviously another strength of his that you know, whatever setback or people might comment, he carries on going. And it's a terrific trait to have as a player. Yeah.
Ed Balls, thanks for joining us again. We're making a habit of this now. The announcement today, just give us your thoughts on that new structure that Norwich City have in place.
We said a week ago when we announced the termination of Alex Neil that we'd be putting in place this week important structural changes, and that's what we've done at the end of the week before the game today. We are going to split the roles of the traditional chief executive. As a club, we've had one chief executive looking right across the business for a number of years, and last summer we decided to carry on with that as we moved quickly to try and strengthen things when David McNally left at the beginning of the transfer window. But with Jez Moxey moving on in January, we've stood back and said, let's take the time to really think through this structure and how modern football works. And the conclusion we've reached is that we neither want one person trying to run everything here at the football club, because the non-football side is now a big and complex financial business, but also we don't want to stick with the old way where the manager was really in charge of the whole football side, the academy, all the team's recruitment. Because I think increasingly for a club like ours, people are seeing that that recruitment task in a global football market is not something that you can do and run a football team at the same time. So our decision is a managing director, Steve Stone, appointed today to run the non-football side. We're going to bring in a sporting director who will embody and deliver the values and the style of this football club across all of the football side. Real focus on recruitment, but also that means thinking hard about the plan for the academy too. And then within that, we'll bring in a head coach who will be closely involved really with the recruitment side, but whose job is to run the first team week to week. And it's a split, it's a different approach, but we think, having considered this hard and talked to lots of people, that is the right structure for Norwich City.
In terms of the boundaries then of your job, where can fans effectively expect you to be responsible for what happens at this football club?
Well, I'm responsible for the business elements of the club, and that includes management of the cash that we have at the club, and also I think critically important is engagement with our fans, because it's certainly something I think everybody would say we haven't done as well as we could have done over the last 6 months, certainly, and we need to be communicating with our fans, explaining what we're doing. We're clearly having a fairly big change from a structural point of view. The board think it's the right thing, I certainly think it's the right thing, but part of the key here is explaining to fans why we do what we do.
It's terrific, obviously, to get the 3 points, to get the clean sheet, and it's, you know, a reflection of the hard work that the lads have put in during the week. So, yeah, really pleased for them, really pleased for the club, and it's a good way, if this is my last one, it's a good way to finish. So.
And you can listen to far more of that stuff on pinken.com and also the Norfolk Now YouTube channel. There's lots of videos there. That is youtube.com/Norfolk Now. The Pinken Facebook page, which you can find if you put at the Pinken into Facebook. It should come up, hopefully. So, yeah, just when everyone had given up, Pete, all the results go in Norwich's favour. They're now winning games, 5 points within the top six, Pete. 5 points in 8 games is far from insurmountable.
Well, Ipswich are 5 points off the bottom three, but they're not going down and we're not going up. It's too much to change. And this is Norwich City, that they'll get within touching distance again, go away and lose.
Well, look. We've got an international break here, 2 weeks. 2 weeks to live the dream. Because, you never know.
No, it only takes a couple of teams to slip up. And like you say, the last few weeks, I think Sheffield Wednesday have been a bit on the slide. Were Leeds the only team in the top six to win at the weekend?
That's right, yeah. So no, Reading did as well.
Reading has nerves creeping in.
But they beat Sheffield Wednesday, you see.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, there's nerves creeping in there. So it's not the realm's possibility. But again, a playoff push with an interim manager, then a new manager, it's too much instability for a playoff push. For my life, it'd be lovely, but because the atmosphere of the last two games has just been that the season's over. But if there is still something to play for, then it might crank it up a bit and people might start coming back, because I noticed quite a few empty seats on Saturday. But so come on then, Wembley again.
No, I mean it's hard even having this conversation with that smile on my face, to be honest, because it's great to, you know, revel in this for a little bit, but I imagine come Villa Park they'll get undone. I can't remember, it's 1992 I think the last time Norwich won at Villa Park, and actually 7 of Norwich's remaining 8 games are pretty nasty, to be honest, Pad, so you know we don't have to worry too much about it, do we?
Well, if that's what you boys feel, then I'm not going to try and dissuade you. I've seen the same amount of games as you have, so but I'm going to go a bit more positive than that.
It's sown the seed. Go on.
Well, ultimately, you know, they have shown in passages that they can put consistent results together. So, and difficult games, I don't think that really applies at the minute. I mean, you see Fulham getting done by Wolves at home. Who'd have predicted that? So, Huddersfield going to Bristol City getting done 4 Friday night. Yeah.
We would have never thought that Bristol City side we saw in midweek the other week would beat Huddersfield.
Well, that looks like a good result now at that point in adverse circumstances. So, no, I don't think you can completely write it off. Now, if you're asking me would I put any money on it, no. But at the moment, it's still doable. And, you know, the players have to feel that as well. I mean, Villa does concern me slightly, not so much the historical outline there, but I think they're 5 wins on the spin now, so it sounds like Bruce has got them going, and you know Villa Park isn't going to be a good place, but if by hook or by crook they get a positive result there, then it's going to roll on and gain even more momentum, isn't it? But yeah, you'd have to say on the balance what we're seeing this season that enjoy it while you can.
Pete, you're lovingly and longingly look at the programme put together by Dan Brigham.
Yeah, it's the away fixtures, isn't it? Huddersfield and Leeds. that's job done.
Preston.
There, isn't it? Yeah, and then, well, I guess Sky Sports will love it if we're still in it when Brighton come in down here, but that's an awful run-in if you're trying to get into the top 6.
That Brighton game, I mean, there's a possibility Brighton could be promoted then. Chris Hughton.
Chosen it, isn't it?
Wow. Chris Hughton's return to Carrow Road, and Russell Martin could make his 300th appearance on that day as well against his hometown club. All manner of things could happen on that Friday. What is that Friday? It's quite late in April, isn't it?
It's Friday, April the 21st. Yeah. They've still got it in here as Saturday, but they clearly haven't updated their print. So.
Right. So, yeah, that is the third from last game. Well, there we go. Anyway, we can look forward to Villa Park, when we get there, to be honest, because it's interesting, isn't it, that they were sort of stuck under Steve Bruce and then they've got going again, but ho-hum. Barnsley, I mean, not many, you know, we talk about Norwich's bogey sides. Barnsley haven't won at Carrow Road in 80 years, Pete, and, you know, they still turn up. And they, you know, they're clearly in a good place. They love Paul Heckenbottom, who's done brilliantly to remodel that side again, given they've lost Conor Hourihan, who will come up against, of course, on Saturday week, and Sam Winnell. Decent side.
Easy on the have to wait another 80 years. I think it was going through the motions for Norwich, wasn't it? It could have been a few more. No, it's just a comfortable win.
Maybe come to you in a moment, Pat, about this, but the Jacob Murphy chant of you don't... what was it? What the hell was that? That seemed to come. I can get the beep machine out. It's fine. We
got a new toy.
Yeah. You know, it was only a handful of people. It wasn't in jest from what I saw, because I looked across and people were really angry. And I know, you know, Johnny Howson actually volunteered it to me. I didn't ask him. I've asked him outright about Jacob Murphy, but not about that specifically. What's that about? It did seem ridiculous that they were some people seem so angry.
Yeah, I mean,
after he shanked this shot, by the way, gave Norris a
lower Barkley, the block I sit is near the away end, and it was just the ironic cheers that you get when a shot goes out for a throw-in. I didn't realise that was coming from the snake pit, and yeah, it's out of order. He's a kid, he's a Norwich boy, and then he goes and scores the winner. So, and it's, if you're going to get the back, there's players like that. It's ridiculous. No one tries harder than him, and he's had a fantastic season. But come out like that against your own. Fair enough at the end of the Burton game towards the whole team.
Yeah.
But to single out a player and a kid at that, it's out of order.
I've just thought in that situation it wasn't on. But I mean, in the press box, we're quite exposed to it because no one's really saying anything between us and the snake pit, and they're the closest people to us. I mean, the atmosphere has been a bit strange, hasn't it? It was better on Saturday than the week before, clearly, and there were no substitutions for people to get irate about.
No, they just got irate about that, didn't they, by the sound of it? But, it's all, as Pete says, a bit after the Lord Mayor show, get to the summer and then maybe look forward instead of wallowing. But, No, it's not a very enjoyable experience at the minute, because barring, as we said earlier, barring some strange sequence of results, they haven't really got a lot to play for now in terms of league status. So that transmits itself to the terraces, you can tell. You know, punters are going there because probably they've already bought their tickets, I would imagine.
For next season, never mind this. Okay, I think that's pretty much it really, isn't it? Jacob took his goal really well. The own goal was a classic. We enjoy that. That was good fun, wasn't it? He tried to flick it, and I don't know what he was trying to do, but there we go. Where's Houlihan's injury? I suppose, well, he came off after sort of 20-odd minutes, wasn't it? And he's going to miss Ireland, we'd imagine, wouldn't we, Pat?
Well, apparently he's still not been confirmed definitively Monday morning. Republic is still saying he's been assessed back. He hasn't travelled, he's still in Norwich getting more scans on the thigh injury, but you'd have to think he wouldn't be able to play given the manner he limped off there in the first half. Alan Irving certainly felt Saturday night that there was little point in travelling because he wouldn't be available, so I'd imagine we won't be seeing him trotting out in a green jersey on Friday against Wales. But I personally think, you know, it's time for Alex Pritchard now. I think what I've seen there in the last few games, with the ball we know about, but without the ball as well, I think now, if they're serious about planning for the future, it might be a change into the guard for me.
And I would imagine Wes is probably going to be out a week or three or four, given if it is a nasty thigh injury.
Well, hopefully that means Maddison will get on the bench as well and maybe get some game time, because we're all desperate to see him.
Who? He was on the front of the programme.
Yeah, someone that looks like him, yeah.
God, all right, let's not mention the programme.
Mention of McGovern as well, a couple decent reaction stops as well.
But the one in front of the Barclay second half, early on in the second half, we had to get down very low. Mm. That was a superb save.
Yeah. Yeah, and also Tetti had his best game in a long time for me. Some could say shop window, but...
No, he isn't going anywhere. He loves it here. And I completely agree. I thought he was certainly the best player on the pitch in the first half and certainly man of the match. Anything else you want to say, Pad, that we haven't said?
No. Good luck to the boys over the international break. Russell Martin, Naismith, McGovern, Big Kyle.
Is Kyle fit enough to feature, do you think?
Is he fit? Yeah. Well, he's not exactly damaged.
You know,
he's not wrist injury given the amount of game time he's had, has he? So.
And the under-23s have got their Premier League International Cup tie, haven't they, against Sunderland? Is that right? Coming up. So that should be good.
Yeah,
free, isn't it, if you head down there? So take that in. Right, job done. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Pad. Thanks all for listening. We'll be back at Villa Park next weekend. If you've got any questions for us, get in touch on the Twitter. At Pinken, send us an email to
norwichcitypodcast@archant.co.uk. Rolls off the tongue.
Nice of me to edit the gap there. That was getting the pulls. And we've got loads of Q&As and all sorts of stuff. Pinken.com, the only place to be. You can watch the Pinken show there, which is now live. You can comment to us live in the studio. All sorts. Pinken.com. You know where it's at. Thanks. Bye now.